Welcome to the Association of Schools and Colleges of Optometry's podcast series. ASCO will be producing podcasts on topics pertaining to the field of optometry, being or becoming a doctor of optometry, academic optometry, and more. You can listen to our podcast through the ASCO website at www.opted.org and ASCO's YouTube and iTunes channels. Today's topic is optometry and interprofessional education. And we welcome Dr. Jennifer Coyle, Dean of the Pacific University School of Optometry and ASCO President, Dr. Valerie Wren, Associate Professor, Western University of Health Sciences, College of Optometry, and a special guest, Dr. Pat Callard, Assistant Professor for the College of Graduate Nursing, also at Western University of Health Sciences. First, welcome to you all, and let's begin with Dr. Coyle. Dr. Coyle, can you tell us what interprofessional education, or IPE, means?
Absolutely. We'll start with the most simple and elegant definition, which is from the World Health Organization. They define interprofessional education back in 2010, and it's very simple. It's when students from two or more professions learn about, from, and with each other to really enable effective collaboration between different organizations, professions, and improve health outcomes. So what IPE is really students standing side by side, learning together, and teaching each other about their role in overall health care of an individual.
So that sounds like IPE has a potential, at least, to expand the learning of optometry students, including students in other fields like nursing, especially in the classroom or lab. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, Dr. Callard?
I think one of the things that we really see in the classroom setting when we get students together is that they start talking to each other more. And one of the things we've seen traditionally in education is people stay in silos. So getting them to talk makes it a natural thing for them when they actually get out into practice. But the really fun stuff happens when they're either in a lab setting or they have some interactions in a practice setting. And that's where you really start to see them sharing their skills. You know, some of them are hands-on skills that are comfortable for one profession more so than the other. But they also learn to talk. They learn how to communicate. Every one of them has their own little niche where they're a little bit better than another profession. So just getting that opportunity to practice is huge.
And Dr. Wren, what have you found to be some of the best practices of IPE that can be incorporated for students in optometry schools?
Well, at Western University, we have a multitude of health professions. We have 9 colleges, so we have the physician's assistant program, we have optometry, we have dentistry, we have physical therapy, pharmacy, vet med, and podiatric medicine. So we have an abundant amount of resources here at Western University, and our IPE spans across at least 3 years. So from my observations, because I'm involved in all 3 phases of IPE, I found that really there are 3 main things that I like to share. And the first is for the optometry student to understand scope of practice of the other professions. Certainly, scope of practice can evolve over time. And I think optometry is one of those professions where what an optometrist does now is quite different than what an optometrist did 50 years ago. And so not only understanding what another profession does, but keeping up with that and knowing what the other health professions are doing. Secondly, there's a lot to be said about observing other health professions. So there was one year that our optometry student spent a day sitting side by side with a dental student, observing them in clinical practice and even doing aspirations. So, you know, we have to start at the student level, and sharing classes is one of the pieces in the interprofessional education program. We have opportunities for team meetings. And by observing other professions, seeing and listening to what a dentist does, what a physical therapist does, just to name a few, it's an opportunity to see what it's like for them, see what's the same, what's different. Like, oh, we're all using the same soap format, and really kind of view through another profession's lens how they manage their patients. And really, ultimately, These observations can help break down preconceived barriers and later can make it easier for the future optometrist to communicate with other professions. And lastly, applying clinical skills in a team-based type interaction is certainly the culmination of all the collaborative and communication skills that the students gain. And so this team-based interaction is usually what I found to be the most fruitful venture for the students of all health professions to be able to work together and communicate and be able to collaborate. We've chosen different systems for our students to be able to practice this, and certainly multi-system conditions like diabetes and after stroke care certainly lend well to IPE training.
Dr. Coyle, I want to start with you on this. Do you think that incorporating IPE into the academic optometry curriculum could sway a potential student to enter optometry school who otherwise might be considering taking another academic path?
That's a great question. You know, I would hope that people exploring optometry as a career path would find it appealing to be part of healthcare transformation. And that's what we're trying to do in the schools and colleges of optometry, is be a leader in shaping the path of healthcare of the future. And optometrists have the primary role as a primary eye and vision care provider. And we recognize in the schools that we're going to do the best we can when we effectively communicate with other health professions. And one thing that wasn't mentioned, not only are we educating students on their own role in vision care and the roles that other health professions have in the overall health and wealth of an individual, but also we're educating other health professions on what our role is by incorporating IPE into our overall curriculum. I think we've always been, at the forefront of looking ahead and recognizing that our job in the optometric profession is to make sure that someone's eyes and vision enhance their ability to function in life. And we can do a much better job of achieving that goal if we embrace the overall health and welfare of a patient. And the way that we do that is by working with individuals in the other health professions. So I would hope that a prospective student would look at what we're doing in the schools and colleges, be excited and think, they really are planning for the future and I want to be part of that.
Dr. Valerie Wren, do you have anything to add?
I would have to agree wholeheartedly. And my observation of a first-year optometry student, they first have to learn what their scope of practice is before they can go out and advocate for their profession. So we try to give the optometry student as many tools as we can. Not only are optometrists the primary eye care providers, but within optometry there are so many subspecialties. The list goes on at, retinal co-management. My area is neuro-optometric rehabilitation, vision therapy, pediatrics, all the different subspecialties. So the optometry student needs to learn what their scope of practice, and then go beyond that and learn about all the subspecialties. I like the first-year curriculum quite a lot because we have team-based settings where there might be an optometry student in the room, nursing, medical student, vet med, physical therapy, and they have to collaborate on a case. But oftentimes, the optometry student would need to explain, what their role is and advocate, even at a student level, for their own profession. And it's the same for the other professions, too, where it's like, hey, we actually, can prescribe medicine and, we do surgery in some states. And so things like that certainly do come up. And so advocacy is important to relay that to the student. And I think for the incoming optometry student who's considering optometry versus another profession, I find that some of these students are often unaware of the interprofessional kind of role that the optometrist plays. Many of these students, you know, they spend a few afternoons observing a practicing optometrist, and sometimes I imagine that some of the interprofessional kind of activities happen after hours. So traditionally, that might include or involve referral phone calls or report writing, and that usually happens after the patient leaves, and probably when the student observer has gone too. So I think incoming students do not always realize how integrated a role that an optometrist plays, and certainly how important a role vision plays in the patient's lives, like reading and reading medication bottles and being able to follow, you know, what's prescribed carefully if they have a vision issue, driving, walking, and the optometrist is oftentimes involved in communicating with other healthcare providers, and the potential student may not realize some of these nuances about our profession.
So it sounds like IPE eventually evolves into IPP, or interprofessional practice, when a doctor of optometry is seeing a patient in the real world. From a patient's perspective, how would IPP affect their experience of healthcare? And we can get answers from all three. I'm sure you can elaborate. Dr. Callard.
Yeah, this is an area that I think we're still going to be doing more research and seeing more information come out on the actual effects of IPE on, you know, patients themselves. Because one of the goals, when you think about it, is to really improve outcomes and to help improve costs and do it in a safe and effective manner. So when we think about IPE in itself, you know, some of the things that we've already talked about, such as getting students to be able to communicate and understand what others are doing, helps to build a lot of confidence in them so that they're not afraid to ask questions and they're not afraid to go up to that other professional that maybe intimidated them, you know, in the past. So I think that the skills that they're learning in communication, being able to advocate for themselves, for their own profession, is going to help them be able to advocate for their patients. So it kind of spreads out a lot farther than what we really think about. And from a patient standpoint, my years in clinical practice as a nurse, you know, patients got so confused when one provider after another would come to see them and they didn't know what was going on between them. The patients were just totally confused. They didn't understand. So, you know, from a consumer perspective, it's absolutely a positive thing to get people talking to each other, planning the care, you know, being on the same page, and most importantly, including that patient as the center of the team and allowing that patient to interact with them to plan their care. I know those are the things that I think are going to be the best outcomes when it comes to interprofessional education transferring into practice.
Dr. Coyle.
I absolutely agree with everything Dr. Keller just said. And the key is that once students are comfortable in an interprofessional setting, they go into practice with the idea that it makes sense to be involved in shared decision making. And that's what IPP is. It's not only having the information from every health professional or everyone that's involved, but then you work as a team to make a decision on what's the next step. And that decision making also includes the patient. And if the patient can't speak for themselves, it includes people in the community, their family members, social workers, so that not only are you learning as much as you can about the overall health of the individual, but you're actively, everyone's involved in deciding on next steps and how to, if it's a long-term disease, how to treat and manage it. If it's something acute, you know, who's in the best position to address it so that there aren't repercussions down the road or a consequence that affects another part of systemic health. I've watched patients' lives be changed because all of their health professionals were talking together and involving them on the decision.
And Dr. Wren.
I wanted to share actually an observation that I was involved with the Western Diabetes Institute. And Here, you know, we bring in patients with diabetes and they spend the day being evaluated by a multitude of health professions. And then at the end of the day, so they've already seen the dentist and the optometrist, physical therapist and nutritionist, podiatrist, pharmacist, nephrologist, internist, and worked with a care coordinator. We then meet as a team. And there were several of these sessions where we brought the patient in at the end to meet and talk to the team. And for, you know, a condition like diabetes that requires, you know, significant behavioral changes, self-management, and medication management, these patients were so thankful and they were overwhelmed that this large group of health professions was so interested in helping that patient, helping them to achieve a better goal with their systemic disease. And the buy-in that was obvious on the patient's face was tremendous. One patient in particular that I remember was a young female patient, and her diabetes was really out of control. And she vowed to the team that she would listen to all of our suggestions and follow through so that she could get in better health for her young child. And, you know, the we really, really felt, you know, the impact of this patient with the team interaction. It was really amazing.
How has IPE-IPP been incorporated into today's changing healthcare environment? If anyone has anything to add.
Well, I was going to share about my everyday experiences at the rehabilitation hospital, and this is here in Southern California. And one of the models in the rehabilitation setting is we have different teams, and so you might have a stroke team or a trauma team, and optometry gets called in usually by the physician or the therapist when they notice there's a vision issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be double vision, peripheral vision loss, or blurred vision. And oftentimes the patients at this setting have suffered from stroke or traumatic brain injury or some other neurologic event. So the patients can't do well if they are not seeing well. But at the end of the evaluation and consult, you know, we all get together. We meet weekly to talk about strategies and determining patient goals. So I think more of these teams are forming in healthcare settings. And as these teams work together longer and gel more over time, that within the teams, what I've noticed is that there's a mutual respect as everyone realizes what your scope of practice and abilities are. And I also find that in the rehabilitation setting, there's a shared interest from all the healthcare providers to achieve, you know, better outcome for the patient. So there has to be kind of an opportunity for those teams to form, and I do see that I do see that more for optometry in the rehabilitation setting.
Dr. Callard,
I would agree with that from the acute care setting also, where there's always been some degree of emphasis of teamwork, but it's in the past, I would say it's been more on paper where you're including people, but now we see more teams meeting together, solving problems with complex patients, not forgetting to include the people that need to be involved in that case. And part of that comes from, you know, learning what people do, you know, learning about roles and responsibilities. And, you know, there's much greater communication now, I think, than there has been in the past. And it's a positive, you know, for patients. And I think our students being exposed to those kinds of things, being asked to talk about difficult conversations during their education, learning about, you know, ethics and cultural issues, they bring all of that to the group, you know, when they're actually in practice. And it, again, helps to enhance patient care. So the teams, you know, are evolving, and they're evolving in a really good way. And I think what Dr. Wren brought up is probably the best example. I think rehab has done it better than anyone for a long time.
And Dr. Jennifer Coyle.
You know, much of why we're where we're at is because of healthcare policy that in essence, IPP has been driven by the Affordable Care Act. And the goal of the Affordable Care Act was actually three prongs: to provide better health, better care, and at a lower cost for citizens in the United States. And IPP is the result, is what the changing healthcare environment is. It's getting people to work together. It's having engaged learners adapting to changes in healthcare policy, and it's the result of visionaries smart people who went before us, who realized that if you have a healthcare home and one place for a patient to go to, and everybody talks together, the end result should be better health, and it should be at a lower cost. And the change in the healthcare environment now is the way that practitioners are reimbursed, and the future is to be incentivized to keep people healthy, help keep healthy people healthy for a longer period of time. And that's what a big goal of IPP is.
We ask this question at the end of every podcast. In your opinion, is the future bright for doctors of optometry? And how do your recent students see their future? Do they have jobs lined up, for example? And we'll start with Dr. Wren.
I think the recent graduates are very excited about their future. In fact, we have commencement coming up in 2 days, so they have big smiles on their faces, and I'm very excited too. A lot of them, and I haven't gotten a chance to talk to all of them, but many of them do have jobs lined up, and quite a few of them have residencies lined up too. So I think the future looks good. This morning I was reading an article about federal loan repayment plans, and that's making it easier for the graduating student with debt so they can then go on and choose their ideal job and schedule and a practice setting, maybe open a practice. I think the future is very bright.
And Dr. Coyle.
Well, we just had commencement last weekend, and we welcomed 88 new doctors of optometry to the profession. And we did survey them, and 98% of them already had a position lined up. So it reinforces, what you just heard of what's happening at Western. I will say that my experience in researching loan repayment plans, the optometric profession in the United States has a 0% default rate on federal student loans, which to me means our alumni, our graduates, are finding a position, they're doing what they're trained to do. And it really, it really depends on how engaged they are in the process and how adaptable they are to the future of the healthcare environment. And the ones that are happiest, and I know all the new grads are really excited because they are engaged and they are looking ahead to what the future can be.
Thank you all for your time and participation in ASCO's podcast, Optometry and Interprofessional Education. We especially thank Dr. Pat Callard from Western University of Health Sciences, College of Graduate Nursing, for adding to our discussion. For more information, visit www.opted.org.